Welcome back to His Time on Friday, July the 18th. I'm Pastor Rod Zwanitzer, sitting in for Andy Bates on vacation for a couple of days, broadcasting live again from the studio complex at the International Center, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, St. Louis, Missouri, USA. It's time for Creation Club with Pastor Warren Wirth from Arnold, Missouri. Welcome back, Warren.
Good to be with you again, Rod.
How's everything in Arnold?
Everything's doing fine.
Great, great. Well, you've got so many things that you have shown interest in sharing with the people, and we just don't have time. So much going on in the world of creation and evolution, but there's some announcements that we probably ought to get out of the way first, and then we'll go on to a topic that you have chosen to share with us.
Okay, what are you talking about the announcement from last week, or did you have a new announcement for this week?
I just had it here from you, Michigan Association of Creation meetings
on the Association for Creation met last Monday. So you had the
it said October 11th and 14th.
So what we're talking about today?
You got to read your emails here, Warren.
Yeah, a ton of emails, and they're all linked together. The newest one. What we're going to talk about today. Let's start by talking about something that just came up on the Answers in Genesis website. The title of the article is "Cosmos Inspired Deconversion." Underscores importance of answers in Genesis. So what are we talking about? First of all, cosmos. Cosmos, there's a new series of cosmos that just was completed on the television, and that was with Neil deGrasse Tyson, and it was actually supposedly about teaching science to children and adults in America who are kind of illiterate. But basically, there was an awful lot of evolution taught as fact in that series. And that series was actually a sort of a reboot of what had happened years ago, back in the 70s and 80s, with Carl Sagan. Carl Sagan had a series called Cosmos, and that also, in the name of science, was a series that had a lot to do with evolution and a worldview of believing in molecules to man evolution as fact, and making really no distinction in the teaching there between observable science, things that are observed and tested and repeated and so forth, and what is connected to our technology of building computers and rockets and so forth and having medicine, versus what in the name of science is talked about, which is sometimes called historical science, which is really more about looking at things in the present and trying to figure out what happened in the unobserved past, which also cannot be tested and repeated in the same way as things in the present. And so both the original Cosmos with Carl Sagan and the more recent version of Cosmos with Neil deGrasse Tyson basically were very seductive and misleading for people who were not aware of those distinctions, and could lead people to this idea, who needs God? The universe is so awe-inspiring. Without God, why would one want to have this stupid, superstitious, faith-based worldview when instead we can have one that's based completely on reason and science?
Hey, Warren, let me stop you there, because I know you do us a great favor when you come on with the Creation Club here on Worldwide KFUO and talk about this. Observable science, and then there's, maybe like speculative science or speculating back in history, as you were saying it. Do any of these evolutionists ever talk about that distinction that you're aware of before
They deny that there even is such a distinction. So in the big debate that happened back in February of this year between Bill Nye, the science guy, and Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham very carefully delineated that distinction between real science, which is observable science, working science, observable, testable, repeatable, based on what is the scientific method, and versus what is passed off in the name of science, which is really more religion and philosophy.
Yeah, worldview almost, isn't it?
A worldview-based philosophy, right. And And Ken Ham made that distinction very clearly, but Bill Nye rejected it. And you often see that as the case. They just don't make that distinction, or they refuse to make that distinction. And so it's very slippery that you can start in one realm talking about what is observable and factual, and then very cleverly and sneakily,
yeah,
let me use that word, kind of slip over into talking about still using the word science, but then now you've moved from what is observed into what is speculative, what is conjecture, what is a story that is told based on their worldview, but not based on hard fact and not what observable, testable, repeatable, scientific stuff. And
it's almost like that they know if they go there, if they allow that to be a topic of discussion, they're in trouble.
They are in trouble, and that's why they fight it tooth and nail. And what that has to do with what we do here, and I know that you're very interested in the topic of apologetics, and you have the Cross Defense Program as one of your programs here, which is about Christian apologetics, and our good friends at Issues Etc. also have Christian apologists on their programming frequently to help their listeners and our listeners to understand these matters. And this article that's on the Answers in Genesis website now really underscores the importance of Christian apologetics rightly done, because what we have is an example of a man who went the other way. There's a YouTube video posted by a man by the name of Brandon Phibbs, F-I-B-B-S, Brandon Phibbs, and when I went to check out the YouTube video, which I watched in its entirety, it's a 15-minute video. He actually has a whole bunch of videos, and basically he's kind of an outspoken atheist today who was at one time a Bible-believing Christian. In fact, when you hear his story, you know, he jettisoned his religious beliefs, and this YouTube video that I watched is called Abandoning My Faith, A Personal Journey, and he abandoned his faith even though his grandparents were missionaries, his family, the founders of a Bible college, he himself is the holder of a theology degree from that college, and for, you know, 30-some years, he believed the Bible and believed Christianity. But, and he was taught as a child and living in, you know, going to Christian schools and stuff, that evolution is not true. Evolution is a lie. But this is a quotation from Phibbs. When I investigated what scientists knew evolution to be, rather than what my pastors and Sunday school teachers claimed it to be, I quickly realized I had not been told the truth. My concept of evolution was a ridiculous straw man, an unrecognizable and malnourished shadow of an elegant, graceful, and sophisticated reality. The biblical account of creation was, quite simply, impossible. It did not square with reality. It flew in the face of everything humans had discovered. If the origins of the world and human beings were wrong, what else was wrong? Once Genesis fell, the rest of the Bible fell with it. Once I accepted that the Bible's account of cosmic and human origins could not possibly be true, I began to realize it was just the first in a long line of things about which the Bible was wrong. And this man goes on then not only to reject the biblical account of creation, Adam and Eve, the fall into sin, the flood of Noah's day, and so forth, but he went all the way. He rejects Jesus Christ. He rejects the resurrection. And during this video, he goes on to say, "It's time to stop believing in something that regularly breaks laws of nature. It's time to stop believing in prehistoric gardens with magic fruit trees and talking snakes. It's time to stop believing in floating zoos, a flood that covered the entire earth, and people who lived to be nearly 1,000 years old. It's time to stop believing in towers built to reach the heavens." And he goes on to say it's time to stop believing in a virgin birth and the resurrection of Jesus as well.
Well, we know, don't we, that if you begin reading the Bible, let's say, and get through the first 11 chapters of Genesis and don't believe them, the rest of it, as this guy is saying, falls flat on its face. And we've seen that in Christianity, where whole denominations, whole confessional bodies, Warren, give up on the reliability of the first book of the Bible. And you don't have a problem of sin if you don't have Genesis 3 being true. So
and you don't need a savior.
That's right.
It's so sad when we have seen many major mainline denominations go down that path, and that today they don't believe in the Holy Trinity. They don't believe that Jesus is true God as well as true man. They don't believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. They don't believe that he really rose from the dead, you know, and that that's an actual fact and not just something spiritual or imaginary or symbolic.
In this video, this YouTube that Mr. Phibbs puts out there, does he give any real scientific evidence for evolution that he made this deconversion away from Christianity?
You know, it's not really the scientific evidence. He was taken in, and here's kind of my observation from looking at the video, because we can spend hours going point by point through this 15-minute video and showing where he's wrong, but one of the problems seems to be you wonder about what kind of Christianity he was originally taught, but also if in his Christian schooling they did not accurately depict evolution. And I think that's another part of this that I want to talk about in the little time we have left today, is that we want to both teach accurately what the Bible teaches about creation and accurately what science says about creation, using the best resources such as Answers in Genesis or the Institute for Creation Research or other reputable organizations. But we also have to guard against doing what he thinks was done in his case, that people who are teaching that evolution is a lie, built a straw man. We dare not do that. We need to absolutely know that
Make sure.
We teach our children and grandchildren, we need to teach them accurately what the other side believes.
If I could interrupt you there and just ask you this quick question, because I know you have a lot of good stuff to share with us about this. Does he at all get into what you and I would call microevolution versus macroevolution?
Not at all. For them, that's a false distinction. For the people who are true believers in evolutionism, which is what I will call it, molecules to man evolution, they have faith that it did happen, even though we would point out to them repeatedly that scientifically there are huge obstacles that they cannot explain. How did life arise from non-life? All scientific research to this very minute has shown that life comes from life. No one has ever been able to show that life ever did or ever could come from non-living matter.
Sure.
Yet that for them it's an article of faith that it did. Likewise, all scientific observation, every testable, repeatable experiment has shown that things can only vary within created kinds. There is no way that something can automatically upgrade the information in the DNA to become a different kind of creature, producing whole new organisms, whole new systems in their own kind of living thing. So like if you didn't have feathers before to produce feathers, if you didn't have eyes before to produce eyes. And yet, as they teach this, and this was repeated in this Cosmos series with Neil deGrasse Tyson, they teach it as if it could happen by what you called microevolution. Little bitty changes could add up to great big changes. Now, again, scientifically, that has never been shown to be possible, but it's an article of faith for those who believe in molecule-to-man evolution. And this man apparently had been shielded from having to really struggle with answering questions and really examining the evidence as a child and as a young man. And once he heard the other side from the other side, he believed it. He swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker, and then very violently, it seems to me, rejected Christianity and all the attempts of Christians to explain and answer the things that came up from the evolution side of the argument.
So you're suggesting something really important, it sounds like here, Warren, that possibly this man did not hear or was not taught the real teaching of evolution, and then heard the other side, or the problems with it, really well. And so I think in the Answers in Genesis, they're proposing we really need to do that with our young people and everyone, right?
Right. We need to teach both sides, people need to understand we don't just say evolution is a lie, so don't ever read anything by Charles Darwin.
Yeah, pull
Darwin.
Your kids out of the class if they were going to have it, that kind of thing. No, we want our kids to understand the best they've got.
Exactly. And so, and that's where Answers in Genesis and organizations like that do us such a favor, because it's like no, don't watch Cosmos. They say, yes, by all means, watch Cosmos, but don't believe what you're seeing there. Watch it with a critical eye, learning to discern what is factual and what is not factual, what is mere speculation and what is really their religion, which is not based on fact, but is based on man's reason, man's fallible ideas about the unobserved, untestable, unrepeatable past. And you know, the Answers in Genesis people did us a real favor, because they watched every episode of this most recent Cosmos series, and every week that they would post a response to it, very carefully done, both biblically and scientifically, very reasonable, and making good, reasoned arguments showing what was fact versus what was not factual, what was mere speculation and religious philosophy, evolutionism, scientism, in their programming. And they did an excellent job. Also, our good friends at Issues Etc. did the same thing, using someone from Answers in Genesis, Dr. Danny Faulkner, an astronomer who works for the Creation Museum and Answers in Genesis, was interviewed by Todd Wilkin every week also.
Did us a great favor. Is this issue with fibs and that on the Answers in Genesis website, where with one link we could refer somebody and they could see?
If they wanted to go to www.answersingenesis.org, one of the more recent articles that's right there on the homepage, it's the title of the article is Cosmos-Inspired Deconversion Underscores Importance of Answers in Genesis. It's an article by Dr. Elizabeth Mitchell, and she basically goes through the whole thing point by point and shows why, here's a man who's rejecting miracles, he's rejecting the Bible, he's acting as though all this stuff and he's equating Christianity with all other world religions. So when you watch the video, it's maddening, because he's blaming all the troubles in the world. Wars.
Let's do this, Warren. Why don't I would just put a link? We'll put a link right on the archive of our chat here in the Creation Club, so our listeners can go right there and see it. And our great thanks to you for bringing this to our attention, and all the great things you do. God bless, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Very good. God bless you too.
You too. Stick with us. Morning prayer here on His Time Worldwide KFUO.